Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of grace which you bestowed upon us and give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church for this kingdom and the next one to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to give a special thanks. This is Fourth Sunday, and every fourth Sunday we are provided a meal here at this church. And if the ladies who are involved in preparing this meal would stand up at this time, I want to give them the due diligence. And Van. I'm pleading ignorance or insanity, Van, but I was told it was the church ladies who did this, so thank you. We give thanks for these people who do this, and lunch will be provided again, as it is every fourth Sunday. And thanks to your service in this area. In his book, Dangerous Calling, Paul Tripp states 11 characteristics of self-righteous people. Listen to this list. Self-righteous people do not see their walk with God as a community project. Self-righteous people do not work well with others. Self-righteous people consistently believe that they're right and that they know best. Self-righteous people are resistant to change. Self-righteous people do not respond well when reminded they need to change. They do not desire exhortation or admonition, even getting angry at times. They are not patient with those who mess up, struggle with sin, or have lost their way. They do not deal well with opposition or accusations. They will consistently wonder why God has singled them out in times of difficulty. They do not see a need to admit or confess their sin, and they consistently point out the sin of others with an air of superiority. Now, you could take this list, these characteristics of self-righteous people, and you could put a tag on every one of them. And the tag is, it's all about me. It's all about me. My wants, my needs, my desires, it's all about me. Quite often, people who are self-righteous put on this me-first attitude, because they really are protecting a very inferior feeling inside. Self-righteous people often will denigrate and dehumanize others by showing their righteousness and comparing and contrasting it to others' perceived inadequacies and inferiorities. Now, I think that we come to this text today with a bit of misunderstanding, because we come to this text with a bias against the Pharisees. We already know that the Pharisees are against Jesus. We already know that the Pharisees are planning to kill Jesus. We already know that the Pharisees are plotting Christ's demise. And so we come to this text with a bias in our mind whenever we hear this word Pharisee. And the truth of the matter is, folks, that there's some actual truths in this text of what the Pharisee is saying. The text begins with the Pharisee and the tax collector coming into the temple, and you can tell there's some distance between them. The text states this, that there is some symbolic difference between them. The Pharisee is on one side, and the tax collector is on the other. And the Pharisee begins his prayer by saying this, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extorters, adulterers, even like this tax collector. Here are some truths here that he begins right here. I fast twice a week. That's probably a true statement. I give tithes from all that I get. That's probably also a true statement. So as you can see, the Pharisee is doing some holy things in his life, and the Pharisees truly believed they were doing God's will because they were following the laws and the statutes that Moses received on top of a mountain. So they truly believed that they were following the right way. They were holy and doing things holy in their lives. But recognize where this Pharisee's text begins. And I do this, and you probably do this too. The very first letter is I. We probably, every one of us are guilty of saying this in the, at the very beginning of our prayer sometimes, but listen to the words in this first sentence. I thank you that I am not like other people. He's not giving his gratitude to the Lord. He is trusting in himself. He is not giving congratulations to the Lord. He is giving congratulations to himself. He's not grateful to the Lord. He is grateful towards himself. He locates his own righteousness as something which he has initiated rather than something that God has initiated through him. And this is how he starts off his prayer. It's all about me. You may remember, when George W. Bush was a president, he wanted to create a new strategy for Social Security. You remember that? And I remember in the church that I served in an elderly church, and the church was really concerned about that. And I can remember having a discussion with a woman, and she said, I don't like that George Bush is messing with my Social Security check. And I said, well, you know, I've heard some other concerns from older people. And I can tell you right now, even concerns from a younger generation that wonder if Social Security's going to be there for a while. And she winced at me, gave me this look, and she says, well, I don't care about your generation as long as I can get my check until I die. It's all about me. I've heard this statement in churches before. I don't care about the future of the church as long as I can have my funeral here. You've probably heard that too. It's all about me. Focus on death and not life. And I've also known people in the church, sometimes they've got a big name in the community, or they're one of the biggest givers, and they think they're privy to more privileges than other people in the life of the church because of this. It's all about me. Now recognize what's going on here as well. The tax collector, the outcast, the sinner, was standing there, and the text tells us he was beating his breast and saying, God, notice where his prayer begins, folks. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Notice the contrast here, folks. The Pharisee begins by giving himself congratulations, and the tax collector is looking upon God's divine benevolences for everything that he has or everything he's going to receive. His stability, his well-being, his security. Now, besides trusting in himself and giving his own aggrandizement here, think about what the Pharisee is also doing here. He's praising himself, and by praising himself, he's putting another member of humanity down. Not only is it all about me, but it's all about me putting this other person down. Folks, when you and I rise ourselves up, when we elevate ourselves, when we talk about our own righteousness, the chances are good at some point we're going to put someone else down. And this is a grievous ill in our society, folks. When we elevate ourselves to the point where we dehumanize another person, that is a grievous ill. Self-righteousness begins and promotes racism and bigotry and sexism and classism, all the isms that you can think of. It begins with self-righteousness. And basically the attitude is this: I am better than you, so I am privy to more benefits and rewards than you are. In the end, folks, and I believe this is me, in the end, I think when we elevate ourselves in a form of self-righteousness, not only do we cut ourselves off from people, we cut ourselves off from God. And this is a terrible thing that is taking place in this temple at this time. All discriminations begin with self-righteousness. Because we're holding other people in contempt. Those who hold other members of humanity and society in contempt cannot reciprocate God's love. They cannot reciprocate God's compassion. They cannot reciprocate God's kindness. They cannot reciprocate God's mercy. Jesus tells us truly that if we want to expose the love of God that we have in this world, we expose it and demonstrate it through our kindness to other people. And I will say this, any religion which drives away people from God instead of moving us towards those who need mercy, who need compassion, and who need forgiveness is a religion which is not following a Christ-centered discipleship. Jesus tells us this, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down from his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Paul says it this way, folks. All have fallen short of God's glory. Every one of us, folks, we are all sinners. Because if you were not a sinner, you could get things right with God and you wouldn't be in need of a Savior. And everyone who's gathered in this place is in need of a Savior. And we will never fully know the depth of another human being until we open our hearts to his or her story, until we open our hearts to his or her experiences, until we open our hearts in a relationship manner to those things that person has followed in life. Until we do that, we will never have empathy for another human being. I was in my church one day, and a woman came in, and she was pregnant and in need of financial assistance. And she just came in and told me her story. She had been abused as a child. Now she was abused by her husband who just left her and left her with nothing. And she just talked and talked and talked, folks. I really don't think she was interested in financial assistance as much as she was just getting this off her chest. And I looked at her and I said, you lived through a terrible childhood, and now you're going through a very difficult stage in your life. This must be terribly hard for you. And she began crying loud in the office. She says, you're the only man who has ever understood how I feel. Now, I hope I was able to empathize with her. But that is empathy, folks. Understanding, walking in someone else's shoes, understanding what it is that they've been through, understanding what another person's pain, understanding another person's emotions, understanding another person's joy, to the point where we can say, it's not about us, folks. Because Jesus served. He came to serve, not to be served. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. He sat with the woman at the well. He healed people with diseases. He ministered to children, to women, to ethnic minorities. For Jesus, it was not about him. It was about you and me. And when you and I, folks, when we, just like the tax collector, rely upon the divine benevolences of God, that is when we look to God as our mercy, as our compassion, as our security, as our stability, rather than trying to compete with one another, our heart is changed and dramatic reversals can occur. Relying on the divine benevolences of God reverses contempt, reverses attitudes of patronizing and looking down on others. So go now and advance those divine benevolences of God. Relying on divine benevolences of God reverses racism, reverses sexism, reverses classism, reverses bigotry, makes the world a more peaceful and loving place to live. So advance the divine benevolences of God. Relying on the divine benevolences of God creates empathy, creates compassion, creates loving kindness, accepts forgiveness, promotes grace. So go and advance the divine benevolences of God. Relying on the divine benevolences of God creates humility, creates empathy, creates a more effective and fruitful relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. So go and advance the divine benevolences of God. The Christian Church Universal, folks, the church that we know, could greatly benefit from a divine reversal, Our attendance could greatly benefit from a divine reversal. Our membership could greatly benefit from a divine reversal. All of this, folks, all of it, starts with us relying more on God's divine benevolences. In the end, folks, you and I and everyone else, we fall short of God's glory. There is no need to brag or to boast, and there is absolutely no need to show contempt for another human being who is also born in the image of God. So go from this place, folks, go from this place and advance those divine benevolences. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you love each and every one of us, that you have compassion for all, that you are kind to all. And Lord, infiltrate our heart once again so that we may leave this place understanding the fullness of your love, understanding the fullness of your compassion, understanding the fullness of your mercy, and going out into the world to make discipleship of all ages, races, and nations. Allow us to remember what you have given us, to remember who we are and whose we are, and to advance those divine benevolences which you share with each and every one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.